sang a hymn or a Christmassy hymn. One way or the other, we'll sing something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for life and health and strength. For each one that's here, Lord, for the heads that are bowed in your presence. And Father, I just pray that you'd be one of our number this morning. That you would look into our hearts and that you would work there. That you would cleanse us and refresh us. That you would direct us. That you would chasten us, Lord. That you would just deliver us our daily spiritual bread this morning. I do indeed thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, for saving our souls. Lord, for keeping your word in the face of the earth, and Lord, for continually revealing prophecy and the events of the world. Bless our time together, that of our brothers and sisters right the way across the world. And Lord, we just thank you for answered prayers, and we've had quite a few of them. And Lord, we just pray for lost loved ones, that they would be convicted and saved. Lord, we leave these things at your feet, pray that you would grant them according to your will. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's take our hymn books this morning, and we'll start with 429. 429 is "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Thank you.
going to say, does that make you feel Christmassy? But it's we're in church, we're all saved, I pray, we're going to heaven, we should be enjoying our time. Amen. What was that one that you were...
That was Flea Bites from...
What number was it?
I don't recall.
Ding. 422. This is one that's maybe not quite so familiar, but we have been singing it here for a year or two. 422. Thou didst leave. Thou didst leave thy throne.
Before his eyes, Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun the Spirit? Begun the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident for. The just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. Now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of null effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the land of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Where there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith Jesus Christ might be given to them that believeth. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, he might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Amen. Thank you, Norman. That's a tough one there. That's one that a lot of people choke on, is living by the law instead of living by faith. But we appreciate that this morning. I think about those Steve's. Amen. At least he didn't throw you any curveballs in that one. Amen. As you might have noticed, we've got a new green prayer list. So if you have
want you to just run your eye over that and any that pertain to yourself. And if you have any amendments that need to be made, would you let me know at some stage? Make sure that either Monica or myself know, and make sure that it gets written down. Otherwise, as they say in many places in the world, if it's not written down, it never happened. But we incorporated all of your previous prayer requests and a great number of your thanks into this updated prayer list. And but life changes and things go on, so if anybody has anything else they would like to add to that, now would be a good time to let us know. Yes, what?
Andrew and Julie.
Yes, indeed.
Andrew's under health.
Under health. Health Bethel? No, health.
Friends and family.
There you go.
Sorry, Michael.
It's okay, he's there, but
I was checking to make
did we put on it that he was making progress?
That I did not.
Well, we'll put that under thanks then. Thank you, Mrs. Faye. Thank you, Will. And just want to check, we see all our list of people under private prayer requests. Does anybody not have a private prayer? Let me put that another way. Just put your hand up if you have a private prayer request. All these double negatives get a bit confusing for me. Well,
and William Hamilton as well in there as well.
William, yes. We'll put him down as well.
Yeah.
We can check for the rest later. Okie doke. I think that's about that. Plenty going on. Still plenty going on in our country. Still plenty going on in our town, and I'm sure in our lives. And they all deserve a moment or two of our attentions in prayer. And don't forget them. Don't be depending on other people to make all of your prayer requests for you. I remember a fella saying about always being ready to be an answer to your own prayers. Don't forget that, if you would. I think that's about that. If there's anything else, let us know. We will certainly include it. Well, could you just say a word of prayer for us?
Dear Father, thank you for your our health, wealth, and strength, Lord, and for bringing us into your house today, Lord. May our service and worship be accepted on this side, Lord. And may we remember your Son who's brought into the world around this time of year, or in the world, Lord. Who came to be the Messiah, who came to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. Lord, say so today, Lord, throughout this land, and throughout the churches today, and throughout the weeks to come, Lord, people that have only been in church for 1 week, or one week or 1 day, Lord, the whole year, Lord, you may reach out to them, and Lord, convert the traitors in the pulpit, Lord, and say so mightily and powerfully by the blood of the Lamb for light and for light, glory, Lord. We remember absent God, remember Leonard, Lord, Mr. Arthur, we are from the Lazy Manors, there's men in trouble, Lord. Bless him and keep him safe as well. Brother Frank, and give him journey and mercies. Deliver from any trouble, Lord, and draw him a closer walk with thee, Lord. With Dr. Shine as well, Lord, pray for him and bless him as well, Lord. Brother Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, save his souls. Deliver from any trouble, Lord, and pray for him and bring him into the church at the point of time as well, Lord. Brother Esther, help her in the infirmities. Deliver from her stop her from getting any cancer, Lord. Give her remission, Lord. Mm-hmm. Deliver from any trouble, Lord. And bless her, keep her, Lord. Bring to the next point time, Lord, but also, Lord, help her and walk with thee and deliver her from any trouble, Lord. Look, Taylor and Christy, Lord, as they're over in the States, Lord, help them with red tape, Lord, help them get the certifications and the paperwork for us, Lord, complete, Lord, and bring them safely back to us, Lord, in one piece, ring of fire right about them, protect them and keep them as well, Lord, keep them from any harm or trouble, Lord, as well, Lord. With Steve and Pat, help them in their families, Lord. Pray with them, both from the diabetes, Lord, and also pray for them and Steve's eyes and everything that he has, blood pressure and heart, Lord, and pray for them, heal them, Lord, they're from any trouble as well, Lord. With also anybody that we've forgotten, Lord, and Lord, pray for this day, Lord, and may it be a time of blessing, Lord, and Lord, may we see souls saved, Lord, with Andrew King and Lord, and his family, Lord, help him as he's in the hospital, Lord. Make progress, Lord, and help him and provide for him and keep him safe and well, and come and save his soul, Lord, with his soul and all his extraction as well, and all his friends, his family, Lord, and see associate for thy honour for our wife, Jesus Christ, again.
Amen. 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 Is he and his family not saved? No. So keep praying for him. We brush with eternity sometimes and do wonders for the people's perspectives. We're also mindful too, and Colin stepped out of the room and everything to do with him stepped out of the room as well, but his granddad is continuing to improve, so please do continue to pray for Colin's granddad Paddy as well, if you would. Amen. We are practicing our Christmassy hymns, so if you have one that you would like to...
76 in the Black Book.
76 in the Black Book.
Don't get that wrong.
76 in the Black Book. 76 in the Black Book. Once in Royal David's Study. Sounds good. Let's stand and sing. Hymn number 76 in the Black Book.
Oh,
That seemed like good practice. We'll be able to get them all perfect the next time. Our Christmassy hymns practice. All right, let's take our Bibles out, the other big books that we have in front of us, and turn to the book of Job with me this morning. The book of Job, Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. Just start at the book of Psalms, turn to your left a page or two, and you will be in the book of Job. Open in the middle, turn to the left. That's pretty much it. I just wanted to remind us all as well that we're having our Christmas supper on Wednesday evening, so don't forget that. I'd be more than happy to see you all there. Have a wee bit of fellowship. It'll be the first time we've had fellowship as a church in exactly two years. So it's not mandatory, it's invitational. You're welcome to come along. The more people that come, the less food there is to eat. And the fewer people that come, the more food there is to eat. So whichever way you're feeling, make sure that you're praying, but make sure that you come along yourself anyway. We're in Job chapter 19. Just want to read from verse number 23. Verse number 23, and read the last seven verses, and we will take that for our text this morning, speaking on the subject of I know. You'll know which verses we're using whenever we read them. The Word of God says, "Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know that there is judgment." There is a judgment. Amen. Verses 25, 26, and 27 are the verses I'd like for us to spend a little bit of time on this morning on the subject of I know. I know. We'll have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for the freedoms that we have still together. Lord, you know the wheels that are turning against your people, against the scriptures, against the preaching of the cross. Lord, all the things that are good and proper, we do indeed pray, Father, that you would handle them at this time. We love and praise you. Pray, Lord, for your blessing to be shed abroad on all of your children this morning, whether it's a lifting up, whether it's a knocking down, Lord, whether it's wisdom, strength, purpose. Lord, you know our needs. Please, I pray, please provide. Be with our absent brethren, Lord. Be with those that have slipped away and slid down, Father. Please restore. Father, I pray that people would not be so blinded at this particular time of year that they would forget that really it's not an orgy of buying and eating and selling, Lord, but it's supposed to be a time of remembering what you've done for us and the greatest gift that has ever been given. We love you and thank you, Father, and pray that you would deliver us the message this morning and help us see it through our hearts and for it to think upon it and to consider it and even to use it day by day. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 I came across an interesting article, one that gives us an idea of the times in which we live. But I think some wag has come up with a 3D printed suicide pod that they're talking about installing in Switzerland. It doesn't use any drugs. All that it does is the person gets in and it floods the chamber with nitrogen gas, and the person in the chamber is dead within 10 minutes. That's only awful here. In Switzerland, you're allowed to kill yourself or get someone else to lend you a hand. But it shows you now that these things are coming, are becoming more and more common and acceptable. And these are the days that we live in when those that are vulnerable, that need a helping hand are left to die, and those that are very young and weak and helpless are left to die as well. They're at the mercy of those that are having good times. So please do pray for countries that allow these sorts of behaviour, our own in particular. Amen. Verse number 25, 26 and 27 are verses that I have been trying very hard. It's almost like trying to keep a hold of a nail. Trying very hard to commit to my memory this past few days. And I got to thinking about them and I thought, you know what? Those three words at the start of verse number 25, or I know, really struck a chord with me. And especially whenever we find them in the middle of the book of Job, one of the most horrendous, one of the saddest books of the Bible, one of the books in the Bible where the, we'll not call him the star of the show, I'm sure he would rather have been anywhere else except in the middle of Job. He would rather have anybody else's name at the start of those books, where a man had literally everything taken from him. He suffered a lot, and he went through huge changes in his life. He went from being one of the richest, and I would say almost one of the happiest men in the world, and I mean happy, and joyful, and respectful, and helpful, and what else could I say? Man in the world. He had everything that you could shake a stick at. He had huge flocks, he had fields, he had servants, he had lands and houses, he had, I think it was, he had a bunch of kids, seven boys and three girls, I believe it was, and the joy of every parent. And all of it was taken away in a moment. Some of it, even thought it, it was God working against him, because one of his servants came and said, and fire came down from heaven from God and consumed whatever it was that they consumed. But we know, looking at it and reading the start of it, that the Lord said to the devil that everything he has is in your hands, only leave his life. And so even after this happened, the pain and the agony didn't stop there. His friends, in quotes, came to comfort him, hence the term Job's comforters, because if you take time to read, and it is, it's quite sore and dry reading, especially when you consider the man that has lost everything, being having the finger of his friends pointed at him and being told that the hard times that you're going through is because of stuff that you've done. This is what we call it these days, karma. We call it karma. The Bible says if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. But these men said it's because of your sin that God has taken everything away. It's because of the things that you hold in the your heart. It's the way that you behave. This is God's punishment for you. Now, we know that even the Lord, when he referred to a building collapsing in his day, the Tower of Siloam, and he referred to 14 souls that lost their lives. And that was a tragedy. It's a tragedy when anybody loses their lives prematurely. He said, do you think that those people were sinners, big sinners above everybody? And Jesus said, they weren't. They were just people going about their daily business. And if you don't get yourself right with God, the same thing could happen to you, and you will end up in hell in the lake of fire because you never took the time to get saved. His friends weren't much comfort at all. But even whenever he was at his lowest ebb, do you remember what his wife said? She said, curse God and die, let this be over. And I have a notion that she was maybe wanting to get rid of this dead loss, this albatross that was now hanging around her neck. All of her belongings had gone. All of her children had been killed in this building collapse. And she was maybe, and this, her husband was now so sick, he was covered in boils. He was technically unclean and nobody could come near him. She was maybe wanting to move on and maybe start another family. And we do know that Job had more children and lived for, I think, for another two generations Job lived. And he saw his grandkids come up, God bless them, more in the latter end than he ever did at the beginning. But he never did. He complained to God, asked God why, but he never blamed God. He never pointed the finger at God and said, you've done this to me unjustly. He asked God to take his life so that his agony and his pain could be over. But he never blamed God and he never cursed God. He remained faithful. And even for all that, I want for you to just take a moment that you have your Bible in front of you and read these words again, or at the very most, listen to them very carefully. For all that happened to Job, he still had these words to say about God. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He still, God wasn't his enemy. God wasn't a thief that stole everything from him. God was still his Redeemer. And more than that, he said, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. In other words, God is coming back to the earth. And he was looking forward to it. But you see, because the next verse says, even when this body is done, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In other words, there is another body waiting for the believer, whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes shall behold, and not another, even though my reins be consumed within me. Even with this body gone, I am going to stand on the earth on the latter days, and with my own eyes, my perfect glorified eyes, and a perfect and glorified body, I will see him. Now we know the rest of it is, the last couple of verses, we're not going to mention the last few verses. We're not going to refer really to the first two verses. It's these three in the middle that we're really interested in. Even with all that went on, he was able to keep his eyes on God and call him what? My Redeemer, my Savior. Even with his loss, with his damages, he still called God his Redeemer. He still believed in God. He still trusted in God. He still knew that he was going to be lifted, if you want to put it, out of the grave. He was going to be resurrected. He was going to walk on this earth. He was going to be, there's only one time on the whole earth whenever all these souls, well, two times, if you remember the time after the Lord was resurrected, many of the saints that were buried rose up and walked into the town. But in the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about glorified souls coming back with the Lord to rule and reign for 1,000 years. All of this, Job was still able to say that. And do you know what Job didn't have? Job only had, about a quarter or a third of the scriptures, and maybe not even that. He didn't have millennia of fulfilled prophecy. He didn't have the personal promises, some of which are only revealed in the later books of the Bible, from God to his people and, in fact, to some individuals. He didn't have that. He didn't have the completion of the scriptures that were committed to many of the men that he read about. He didn't have that. And he, after going through all of that, was still able to call God his Redeemer. But more than that, he knew that God was his Redeemer. He was aware of it. He knew that it applied to him. It's great to be able to depend upon something. It's great to trust it. It's great to know what it's capable of. I have a list of things here. It's great to know and to be able to depend upon the car that you get into, which is why the government insists on an MOT, a Ministry of Transport certificate, on a certain level of how would I put it, service that the vehicle must be available or able to carry out. It's great, but I think it's great to be able to put your hand in your pocket and pull out a pocket knife to know that you have the ability to open boxes or do screws or just do whatever it is, and sometimes in my case, a pair of pliers. It's great to be able to pull on a pair of boots and walk through a puddle and not feel that little bit of cold coming in at the edge of your foot and creeping under your toes. It's great. It's amazing how much better and easier it is to work when you're dry than whenever your feet are squelching and you're damp. And in the same vein, it's great to be able to throw on a coat and know that the water's not going to come in through it, that it's waterproof. These things are great, and it's great to be able to depend upon them. It's great to be able to call a friend and know that they will be there in a matter of moments. It's great to be able to go into a house and shut the door and know that you'll have heat and shelter, and if you open a cupboard, you'll have food. It's great to be able to turn the tap and know that you can fill a kettle with water and have a good idea that it's drinkable. It's great to be able to plug it in, to flick the switch on, and what happens? It boils the water. It cooks your food. It powers up the internet that you're able to hook into and entertain yourself. Is it the internet or the entertainment net, anyway? It's great to be able to know these things. And the reason that we know them is because we have practiced over and over and over again, in fact, so often that it becomes second nature. Whenever Norman and I were working on the church, and Colin too, we'll let you know that there was a table full of tools. And it was good to know that they worked. And the reason I tell you it's good to know that they worked is because I had an extension lead. I still have it. And every time I plugged that blasted thing in, it would switch on and off. It would, like there was a flaky connection on it, so I cut the end of it off and plugged it back in again, and it seemed to work for a little bit, and then it would be flaky again. And that thing was the most annoying thing on the whole work site. A flaky switch. It was one, or a flaky extension reel. Thankfully Norman had one that did work, and all the other tools that plugged into it did work. And it's good to know that those things work. It's good to be able to put your hand in your heart and say, I know that the drill works, the plug works, my coat works, my boots work, my pocket knife works. It's good to know that. It enables you to do so much more. I would hate to have been driving some of those bolts in with my bare hands. Let me tell you, tools make life so much easier, the things that we are given. And if you stop for a moment and consider the difference that everything working the way it should be, and the assurance and the peace and the contentment that it gives you, compared to stuff that doesn't, it is annoying. It can actually drive you to, as I said to Norman a number of times, actually threaten to take the extension lead out and pour petrol on it and set it on fire. It was that annoying. It was that. It hampered us. It held us back. Now, if you think that the assurance of a plug or a coat or a pair of boots lends just that little bit of peace, security. We're not afraid to walk out, and the rain can come down as much as it likes, but it's just going to run off us and we're dry. We're more likely to get stuff done. We're more likely to have a better quality of life. What then will the knowledge of all of the things that God has in his word that apply to you and me, that apply to us, what will that do for you? What would it do for you to know of the promises, the blessings, and the assurances that God has for you in his word? It'll free you instead of worrying about getting damp or having a flaky tap or extension lead. It frees you from worrying about your whole life. It frees you from a foundational, and I'm going to use a word I don't normally use, an existential. It frees you from an existential dread that all lost souls have. And they may say not, no, and all lost souls do their best to blot out. They may say, no, we don't have that. But I have seen, sadly, at the funerals of many lost people, that they do have an existential fear and sorrow at the thought of either themselves or loved ones stepping off into eternity. And they do their utmost to try and blot the thoughts of that out with their lifestyles and their activities and the things that they do. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he takes and does away with that. That's what Jesus will do. Now, it's all very well telling people this. However, how can we know it? Well, I want to say for a start that over 500 people saw the Lord crucified, put to death, and resurrected from the dead. Over 500 people. That makes it not just a legal fact, but it makes it an historical fact. And regardless of how many people say, no, it didn't happen, our calendars beg to differ, our holidays beg to differ, even though they have been greatly paganized. But the Lord Jesus Christ, given to us by our Father in heaven, paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And if you or I, if we repent of our sins and put our faith in that as our only payment for sins, well, then our souls are saved. And you only have to do that the once. It's done once, paid for in full. And regardless of whether you go on to live like a lout or a lag or a liar, thief, or a murderer, or whether you choose to follow Jesus Christ, not just as your Savior, but as your Lord, you're still going to heaven. Now, the Word of God has a few things to say, and this is why I emphasize many times it's important that you know your Bible. I know people don't like that. And I know it's difficult because I was struggling for a few days to get those verses in Job jammed into my head. And even now, they still slip around a little bit. But whenever you get saved, you become a different person. Instead of being the old you, there's a new you. A you with the Holy Spirit inside. The Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. In other words, the things that you used to hate, you'll start to love. Things like going to church and reading the Bible and saying your prayers and being nice to the brethren. These things you'll start to love. And the things that you'll start to hate are the things that you used to love. The drinking, the smoking, the carrying on, the bad language. You're a new creature. Word of God will go on to explain that there's a reason for that. That instead of your father being the father of this world, the devil, remember what the Lord used to say to the scribes and the Pharisees? He said, you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And his works you do. Words to that effect, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But you, Christian, have a new father. In John chapter 20, the Lord said unto Mary, remember Mary that met him in the garden? He said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them that I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. These are the things that are written in the Bible, and you can know practically nothing about the Lord and still be saved. But you will never go to be a Christian knowing practically nothing about the Lord. You need to read your Bible. You need, even as I mentioned these verses, you need to make sure that they're in the Bible, because it's up to you. It was up to me to prepare the message. It's up to you to confirm whether it is what I say it is. I am not responsible for you making your mind up on the things that you do. I'm responsible for delivering you this fuel, these things that will help you over the humps and the bumps in your life. One of the greatest things that so many saved souls don't have is the knowledge that they're going to heaven. And the Lord said in the book of John, John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, and those verses made such a difference in my life. But it's not just the one entry. In John chapter 14, the Lord said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he went on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the promise of God to you. And even Paul, who was a liar and a murderer and a committer of many of God's people to their deaths, he was able to say this and have it recorded even after everything he did, after he had chosen Christ as his Savior. In Romans 8:38, he said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And John the Apostle, in 1 John chapter 5, said, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. As you read and study, you have to read and study. You have to listen. You have to think. And give the Lord a chance in your life. Let him put the pieces together in your heart, Christian. I hope and pray you'll come to the realization that this is not just, it's not a dusty old book. It's not Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales. It's not just a Jewish history book, although it is. This is the very word of God. There are global prophecies mentioned in the Bible that are for us to look at and to see like they're coming true today. There are personal prophecies in the Bible that are for each one of us at whatever point in our lives that we are. There are promises that God wants to realize in your life. There's strength. There's comfort. There's peace. And if you take time to read these, and it's an if, because it's not a sure thing, it's entirely up to you. You take time to read these, to think about them, to study on them, and just even to say, you know the way we keep saying about standing up and saying, hold on a wee second, that's wrong. You can say, Lord, I'm having a bit of difficulty. And the Lord is not on a quota. He doesn't get paid more like a school teacher to make sure all his kids get a certain grade in school. He is so much spare capacity that he can teach each one of us at whatever level it is that we are at. We can say, Lord, I don't understand. Please show me. God has everything in the Word of God for us, so that you can say, just like Paul in the book of Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And it says, because therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, but also the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. There's salvation and there's judgment. And it's all in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something else. Sometimes there's losses. You start living for God. You start talking like a Christian. You start going to Christian places. All your drinking buddies are not going to go with you. They're not. All your buddies that used to hang around the street corner and mug people, they're not going to want to come with you. And you might be thinking, well, like a lot of people do, well, being a Christian means that I have to do without. Really, the statement should be, being a Christian means I have to do without a lot of sinful things in my life. But in the Gospels, in Matthew and Mark, it says, promises. And you can know that every time that you forsake houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake, you will receive a hundredfold here and now, and you shall inherit everlasting life. That's a sign that your hope and your heart is set in heaven. And these things are only in the Bible. And you will only ever come across them in the Bible, or if someone's preaching a bit of the Bible. You can also have peace. You can have peace that Boris Johnson certainly doesn't have. And you can have the peace that Joe Biden certainly doesn't have. Or is it Vladimir Putin? Or Xi Jinping? You can have peace that those men don't have. You can have peace that even little children don't have. Whenever you talk to God about everything and commit it to Him. It says that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Talk to God about everything. And then it promises you that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's in the Bible. And you can know that. But I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. That doesn't matter. Yes, it's important that you spend your life properly, but regardless of what you do with your life, Jesus gave you an underlying purpose. He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Jesus said. Preaching, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't know that if you never opened the Word of God. If you never took time to read it and study it, unless, of course, you heard it being preached. But then that could be anybody saying anything. There's another thing that the Lord wants for you to know. He wants for you to know that He loves you very, very much. And He has gone to supernatural lengths to make sure not only that His Son is still available to you, but that His Word is still available to you. Of all the things in this world the Lord promised would pass away, He said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away, because we need it each and every day. The Lord doesn't make us these promises just for a bit of crack. And the Lord doesn't make Bible-believing Christians these promises just so that the Roman Catholic or the Protestant or the Buddhist or the Mormon or the Jehovah's Witness or the Muslim can feel bad whenever they look at us. He makes us these promises and delivers them because we need them. We literally need them day by day to keep our heads screwed on, to keep us pointing in the right direction. We need them. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things each day that call for my attention. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. I get to make the choice. And if I am not loaded for bear with the Word of God in my heart, I am going to make bad decisions. So I need to know what is the good and the right thing. And there's only one place that that is found. And it's not found in the Bible. It's found in the original Greek and Hebrew text, if you really, really want to go and read it there. Or you could just take the benefit of hundreds of years of scholars and their teachings in the King James Bible. It's not in the NIV. There's enough to get saved in it. It's not in the Good News for Modern Man. There's certainly enough to get saved in that, or all these other versions of the Bible, but there's not enough in them to keep you on the right road, to keep you on the straight and narrow. They are full of holes. Stay away from them. God said, I would preserve my word, but there are things in that that you need to know. And they will make a difference in your life. When I came to Bethel about 20-something years ago, I was saved. And I knew I was saved. I was there when I got saved. I felt the elation and the lifting of my sins whenever I got saved. But in the 6, 7, 8, 9 years since I got saved till I got in a Bible teaching church, I never read and studied my Bible. And I never knew that God kept me in the palm of his hand. I never trusted God to give me the words that I needed to speak when I was speaking to someone about their soul. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit would teach me all things and bring all things to my remembrance. I didn't know that. I didn't know that the very reason the whole thing was written was so that I could know that I had everlasting life. That I could have the boldness of God, that I could have the recollection of his words, that I could have even the love that God had for me for other lost souls. I didn't know. But I'll tell you something. When I got to reading and studying and listening to preaching and applying it and doing a wee bit of speaking to other folks about Jesus, I soon found out that they were all true. That all of his promises were as good as money in the bank for the Bible-believing Christian. And he said one other thing. Well, he said a lot of other things, but one other thing that made it into my notes. He said, and it's something for the future for all of us. It's a thing that we do whenever we're brought up short. Whenever the world, the flesh, the devil, or even God grabs us by the collar or the shoulder and sets us flat on our behinds, stops us in our tracks. He said, everything will work out for the best when you get saved and when you do things God's way. That's the promise. And that's what we want, isn't it? Don't we want to know that the life that we led was done properly? Was done pleasingly to God? Of course we do. We want to know that. Well, God says you can when you get saved and you do things his way. I don't know what you consider or what you think of God's work for you. Some people don't pay any mind at all, even church-going folks. They don't give two monkeys what God did. But God did an awful lot for you 2,000 years ago. After the fulfillment of thousands of years of prophecy, and another 2,000 after that, after doing probably one of the filthiest, dirtiest jobs that anybody ever had to do, which was live in this world amongst us, rubbing shoulders with people that whom he knew their thoughts were, well, definitely to do him harm. People that were going to betray him. Jesus Christ lived amongst us for 33 years, preached probably one of the shortest ministries that any missionary or outreach has ever gone for, 3 years, gave his life on the cross of Calvary, had all of yours and my sins heaped down upon him, and it filthied him to such an extent that his father said, couldn't look at him anymore, and he said to his father, my God, why have you forsaken me? He poured out his own life to pay for yours and my sins. And then he rose from the dead just to prove he was who he said he was, and that all of the things that he said were true. He's done that for you. He's done that even for the alcoholic that lives under the bridge, the prostitute that sells her body on a Saturday and a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday night on a street corner, for the drug pusher filling their veins full of poison, for the judge that sits sentencing them, for the policeman that gathers them up, for the teacher that tried to point them in the right way, for the shopkeeper that was selling them their food and their clothing. He's done that for everybody. And if he can do that, that greatest of works, that impossible thing that we can't do, there's nobody in this wide world can save their own souls. Norman was reading about it. There's not one thing that we can do. It's all about our faith in the one thing that he did. If he has done this greatest of things and delivered it into our hands, so to speak, do you not think he can do all the other fruitery wee things in between now and us meeting him face to face? Of course he can. That's what this is all about. This has been written so that we can know that he is as good as his word. That's what he wants for us. He doesn't want feelings. He doesn't want our opinions. He's given us his promises, his word, and his knowledge, so that we can make our way through this life with as few bumps and scratches as possible. And that's on us. If that was up to Jesus and him alone, we wouldn't have a book that was 1,800 pages long. This is up to us. And it's that long, and it will keep us going for the rest of our lives. I'm just going to finish with, I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying to say them from memory, but the words of Job, this is what he said, even after all that he'd been through. I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You can know. Thank you for your good time. Thank you for your attention and your thoughts. I am finished. Let's sing a song. Checking the wee black book first. We'll do number 30. We did Charlotte's Holy Night. We'll do Still the Night, Holy the Night. Number 30. Sorry, number 77 in the wee books. I'm looking at the musical machine number. Number 77. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
Sleep on our pain from sight.
you very much. God bless you. I pray you have a good Lord's Day. Doors will be open again about 4:30, give or take. But I look forward to seeing you there. Please do be much in prayer. A lot to be doing. These are definitely the last of the last days. Amen. Let's close your eyes and we'll be dismissed with the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for your word, for your Son, for this time, for this place, for loving us and watching over us. Lord, for your long suffering and patience towards us. For the day that we have ahead of us, Lord, just pray your good hand upon us as we go. Please save souls. Please edify us, Lord, and the rest of your children. And Lord, we love you and praise you and ask this private prayer requests. And Lord, thank you for answered prayers. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.